Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
New at noon, we have a freeze warning in effect now for tonight into tomorrow morning. I'll show you how cold it will be as you walk out the door.
Also breaking news this noon, investigators take the next step to identify a body found in a fire pit. We're standing by with an update.
Plus, new information this noon about a deadly crash involving a vehicle and a utility truck.
It is another chilly afternoon out there, even under these sunny skies right now. And tonight, we're under a freeze warning. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to show us why tonight may be our last chilly night for a while. I know the farmers are going to be very happy about that. We've had a number of freeze warnings. We had several at the end of last week. Of course, this morning we had one, tomorrow morning. And then after that, it does look like we're going to see warming temperatures. Farmers are trying to protect the strawberries and the fruit tree crops out there. And boy, they've been super busy lately. Right now, we're looking at sunny skies in the Triangle. 47 degrees with a wind out of the northeast at 10 miles per hour. So it's pretty chilly out there with that wind. I'm going to show you what the wind chill is coming up in just a few minutes. But 41 in Roxborough, 47 in Rocky Mount, 45 in Fayetteville. So it's definitely on the chilly side out there this morning. And this is how far our temperatures will fall tonight. We tend to see the coolest temperature of the day at around 7 a.m. So as you're walking out the door tomorrow morning, 26 South Hill and Roanoke Rapids, 27 Lewisburg and Rocky Mount, 30 in Durham, 26 in Siler City. We head down to the south, 26 in Sanford, 30 in Irwin, 31 Fayetteville, 30 degrees in Clinton. So similar to what we saw this morning. But our wind will shift during the day tomorrow, and the afternoon highs will start to climb into the 60s and won't stop until we hit the 80s. I'll show you how close we'll be to record highs toward the end of this week coming up. It will be quite the weather whiplash. Elizabeth, thank you. We begin with an update to a bizarre story out of Cary. The medical examiner will work to identify the victim whose remains were found in a fire pit. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live on the scene where investigators have been since the discovery of those remains. Chelsea.
Yeah, Renee, good afternoon. It's been 24 hours. Cary police forensic teams and fire crews are still on the scene here on Dorset Drive. I'm going to step aside. All morning, we have seen forensic teams going in and out of the house, in and out of the two RVs that are on site. And if you see there, they're sifting through rubble in that trash can there. They've been taking pictures of various things on the property. The latest thing, though, we have seen them going through the trash there. We should mention that this is they responded here at 7:15 yesterday morning, and that's when fire crews noticed a small trash fire in a homemade trash pit, and that's when they did discover human remains. We should mention that Cary police said the homeowner here found in one of these RVs in the driveway yesterday morning with a self-inflicted gunshot wound is in critical condition. Right now, they are not releasing the man's identity. They did say that he was living in the RV here on site as the home was being renovated. Police say they also found a woman on the property unharmed who is cooperating with police. Now, earlier you mentioned as part of the update from Cary police that they are sending those remains to the medical examiner. Obviously, that's going to be a vital piece of information to learn the identity, the cause, and the time of death. Police say that this investigation, obviously, if they've been out here now for over 24 hours, is still ongoing, but they're asking for the public's help. If you saw anything or heard anything unusual here in the area of Dorset Drive, you're urged to call Cary Police. Renee?
Chelsea Donovan reporting live from Cary. Thanks, Chelsea.
No charges are anticipated right now in a head-on crash that killed a person. Highway Patrol says that driver ran off the road, overcorrected, and hit a utility truck that was traveling in the oncoming lane. The driver of the vehicle died. The driver of the utility truck tried to avoid that vehicle when it overcorrected, but the passenger car still hit it. That accident is under investigation. A Harnett County man is charged in connection with the murder of a Fort Bragg soldier. Virginia State Police arrested Brandon Amos Dixon after a chase that lasted several hours. He's currently being held in Virginia pending extradition. Amos Dixon is charged with first-degree murder in connection with the January 18th shooting of Staff Sergeant Jimmy Lee Smith III. The 24-year-old was gunned down in Hoke County.
A Raleigh family will have to find a new place to call home after a fire destroyed their house. The fire started around 5 a.m. Sky 5 flew over the scene and showed the extensive damage of the structure on Charney Drive near Skycrest Drive. WRAL's Nye Harden spoke to the daughter of the homeowner.
One of the family members inside the home told me this happened around 4 o'clock this morning. Take a look at what's left. You can see the caution tape here. You can also see the debris left in the front yard, clothes, even the car being torched. All of this, as they say, they were able to get out only because one of the family members heard what sounded like gunshots. He woke the family up. They thought it was gunshots until they noticed the fire was coming from the garage. Now, the family says they believe the water heater exploded. The four people in the home tried to get out through the front door, but the porch was fully engulfed.
We tried to go out the front door, but the whole front porch was on fire, so then we just ran out the back. And my cousin fell. He on crutches. He got a broken leg, all that. So we just trying to get out the house safe and make sure everybody okay.
The family is okay, but the fire department told them everything is gone. The Red Cross is assisting the family, and we're waiting to hear back from the fire department. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
A man arrested in connection with a 3-decade-old cold case involving rape and kidnapping is due in court today. 51-year-old DeAndre Smith faces charges of first-degree rape, first-degree sexual offense, and kidnapping. The victim in this case was 73 years old at the time. She died in 1992. Police say they finally got a break from DNA evidence from the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative and the Combined DNA Index System. Smith is in jail under a $500,000 bond.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Russia today meeting with Vladimir Putin. This is his first visit since Russia invaded Ukraine, and Xi has said he wants to portray himself as a peace broker. Vladimir Putin said he is, quote, always open to the negotiation process, and they will certainly discuss all issues, including his initiative. The U.S. has warned China is considering sending lethal aid to Russia for its war effort. Beijing has denied this. Now, President Biden says he will be speaking with President Xi Jinping soon. No call has been scheduled just yet.
A new Pentagon report reveals high rates of cancer among military pilots, and for the first time also shows that ground crews are also getting sick. Retired military aviators have sounded alarms for years about the number of air and ground crew members they knew who had cancer. They were told that earlier military studies found they were not at greater risk than the general U.S. population. The year-long study found air crew members who flew on or worked on military aircraft between 1992 and 2017 had an 87% higher rate of melanoma. Overall, the air crews had a 24% higher rate of cancer of all types. Today marks 20 years since the U.S. invaded Iraq on the ground. The Senate will vote this week on repealing the power former President George W. Bush used to authorize military force in Iraq. To this day, debate remains over the reason for the invasion. The Bush administration said it was to remove weapons of mass destruction and over the country's links to 9/11 terrorist attacks. Those both turned out to be untrue. The U.S. withdrew in 2011. The war cost more than 4,500 American lives, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi lives, and plunged the country into civil war. Iraq has since made steps toward recovery with a new government in place. And WRAL was with Fort Bragg troops when the Iraqi war broke out this month, 20 years ago. WRAL's Ken Smith traveled with the 37th Engineer Battalion. The troops were positioned in the desert city of Kuwait for several weeks before moving into Iraq. When the Saddam Hussein regime eventually fell, our WRAL crew made the trek north with Fort Bragg troops to Mosul. We spent about 2 months covering the stories of our Fort Bragg soldiers and their mission. We would return 2 years later with the North Carolina Army National Guard.
With the world watching the banking situation across the globe right now, you can see the Dow is in the green, up 270 points. S&P 500 also advancing 20 points. And NASDAQ, the only one down, about 11 points right now. Investors are optimistic that the infusion of cash to Credit Suisse will help stem the banking crisis. We'll keep an eye on it. Wake County leaders are working on a plan to make sure families can put food on their tables. Commissioners will get an update today on a $7 million proposal to tackle hunger. The money would be used to increase food pantry storage and increase access to free food programs, among other efforts to ensure food security. This comes after Congress failed to approve the extension of extra SNAP benefits for millions of American families.
A new federal report finds more Americans say they're struggling to keep up with paying their bills. According to the Census Bureau survey, 36% of the people asked say they've had trouble paying bills over the last week. That's 25% more compared to the same time period a year ago. Two key reasons include inflation and the loss of federally given pandemic aid. More difficulties are reported in southern states, where many wages are still at the federal minimum of $7.25 an hour. You get the most out of your tax refund by calling WRAL 5 on Your Side's Tax Pros on Call. It's tomorrow, and experts will be answering your tax questions from 4 until 7 p.m. tomorrow. And here's the number to call, 919-234-5007. Tax code is complicated. Avoid costly mistakes by reaching out to Tax Pros on Call tomorrow.
Next at noon, former President Donald Trump predicts he'll be arrested tomorrow for allegedly paying hush money to an adult film star. How he is asking his supporters to protest.
Also, peanuts or illegal ivory? What authorities in Vietnam found being smuggled in shipping containers?
Plus, getting a handle on gun violence. At 12:30, the new Wake County program designed to keep people safer.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A grand jury in New York is weighing a decision to indict former President Donald Trump. Today, they expected to hear from a new and unexpected witness. This testimony comes after the former president sent shockwaves through the political world over the weekend by predicting he would be arrested tomorrow. Garrett Hake shares who is coming to Trump's defense.
New York City bracing this morning for what could be an unprecedented decision by a Manhattan grand jury, whether to indict a former president for the first time in history. Donald Trump shocking the political world Saturday, predicting on his social media platform that he would be arrested on Tuesday, calling on his supporters to protest. A Trump spokesperson later clarifying the former president had not been notified he will be charged. Still, Mr. Trump's declaration is already galvanizing his supporters, with prominent Republicans rallying to his defense. Among them, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, who vowed to use congressional committees to investigate New York City's investigation. But McCarthy is distancing himself from Mr. Trump's call for protests.
I don't think people should protest this, no. And I think President Trump, if you talk to him, he doesn't believe that either.
Also weighing in, Mr. Trump's potential rivals for the 2024 Republican nomination.
It just feels like a politically charged prosecution here. And I, for my part, just feel like it's just not what the American people want to see.
While the Manhattan DA's office isn't commenting, their case centers on whether then-candidate Donald Trump in 2016 directed his attorney, Michael Cohen, to pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels, who claimed she had an affair with Mr. Trump a decade prior.
Donald Trump needs to be held accountable for his dirty deeds.
The former president has denied any wrongdoing and is accusing Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg of a, quote, partisan witch hunt. For his part, Bragg isn't responding to the criticism publicly, but told his staff in an email, quote, your safety is our top priority. And without naming Mr. Trump, adding, quote, we do not tolerate attempts to intimidate our office or threaten the rule of law in New York.
Today, authorities in Vietnam seized 7 tons of illegal ivory in a container shipped from the South African nation of Angola through Singapore. The ivory was in a container declared as peanuts. It's the largest seizure of illegal wildlife products in years. Last month, a Vietnamese man was sentenced to 13 years in prison for trafficking nearly 10 tons of endangered animal parts from Africa, including ivory and rhino horns. Nearly half of Americans in a recent survey said they do not take measures to improve the air quality in their homes. The survey conducted by a home purification company says despite the health concerns that come with poor indoor air quality, 45% of Americans say they have not taken steps to address it. 81% of respondents say they suffer from negative symptoms in their homes with allergies and nasal congestion among the top offenders. About 20% say they haven't changed air filters in the last 6 months.
A lot of the foods we love to eat are grown in California, but with bouts of severe rain and flooded farmland across the Golden State, agriculturists are worried about their ability to recover the damaged crops and finances. Kristen Mayo has a reaction from California farmers.
Communities across portions of central and southern California remain underwater after several days of intense rainfall. The torrential downpours, overwhelming rivers and water channels, triggering floods that have especially decimated critical farmland.
All these crops are probably going to be 100% destroyed.
According to the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the Golden State grows more than one-third of the nation's vegetables and three-quarters of our fruits and nuts.
Here in California, we feed the world, not just the country, we feed the world.
In the city of Tulare, several feet of water are drowning crops like wheat, almonds, and pistachios. The floods are also preventing some farmers from planting corn, which could cause some delays in food production down the line.
Crop losses, my personal opinion, is between hundreds of millions to billion plus dollars.
California is also the largest dairy-producing state in the country, according to the USDA. Farmers impacted by the floods are now desperately trying to keep the encroaching water from flowing into their cow pens.
We'll have to be looking at an evacuation, because if the water gets in, there's not going to be any way to feed our cows or keep them safe and dry.
If we see, you know, where there's too much of a financial burden, where dairy families have to, you know, close down their operations, and you know, in that sense, you could see more milk going away.
As Krista Mayo reporting, Californians are bracing for even more rain expected today through Wednesday, and really the last thing they need with that. And now you see how it's affecting the whole nation.
Yeah. We haven't had to worry about too much rain, but we have had to worry about too cold temperatures. Farmers, anyway, have been watching their crops with all these freeze warnings. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with how we're going to warm up this week.
They're going to get one more long night tonight where they're out there protecting those strawberry crops and the fruit trees that have already started to bud. But after that, they're going to be able to take a little bit of a break. Right now, we're taking a look at downtown Apex, where we're seeing sunny skies. It's pretty out there right now. Our current temperature is 47. Our dew point is 20, so it's nice and dry. Our temperature climbs into the mid-50s this afternoon, which will be about 5 degrees warmer than what we saw yesterday for the high temperature. We are under a freeze warning again overnight tonight. We'll see temperatures dropping into the upper 20s to low 30s by tomorrow morning. Around 7 a.m. is when we tend to see our coldest temperature. But it's pretty chilly out there right now. We have a little bit of a breeze, so the temperature's on the left and the wind chill is on the right. So it feels like 38 degrees right now in Goldsboro. It feels like 40 in Clinton, 41 in Southern Pines. Not a lot of wind. As a matter of fact, when I pulled this up earlier, it felt like 30s in the triangle up through Roxboro. So the wind, of course, is variable, and sometimes it's blowing harder than others. And so not much of a wind chill right now, but heading through the afternoon, you could run into a fairly chilly breeze out there. This afternoon, temperatures in the mid-50s in the triangle, 57 Fayetteville, 56 Clinton, 53 in South Hill. So we're pretty solidly in the low to mid 50s for highs this afternoon. But our normal is 64. We'll jump to 64 tomorrow and 65 on Wednesday. That's because our wind will begin to shift first to westerly and then southwesterly. That's going to bring some more warm air in. And our overnight lows will be warmer too. Then we jump to Thursday at 80 and 85 on Friday. That 80 on Thursday is not likely to tie a record or break it. 93 was the record set back in 1907 at RDU. But Friday will be close to it with that high of 85, the previous record 88 set back in 1929. So close to a record high on Friday with that 85 degrees. We take a look at who is seeing cold temperatures. It's almost the whole country right now. Right now, the blue color contours are where temperatures are below normal. And then we get a surge of warmth coming up out of the south and southwest. And you can see the color contours changing to yellow and orange. Temperatures will be well above normal Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. And as we look ahead, we're seeing more of that for so much of March, it seems. Every time we looked at the 6 to 10 day outlook, it was below normal. But now the 25th through the 29th is showing above normal. So we're going to climb up above normal starting, well, to normal tomorrow, up above normal by Thursday. And it looks like we may stay there through the weekend and maybe even into parts of next week. First day of spring today, 55 degrees. Coming up, we're going to talk about what does that mean, the first day of spring? And we'll also talk about our showers in the forecast for Saturday. Walk through the timeline for that coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. President Biden says, quote, more cops are killed responding to domestic violence calls than anything else. Is that true? Ahead at 4, WRAL PolitiFact looks into the data to find out if the president's claims are for real.
Plus, a group of neighbors sues the city of Raleigh. They want a judge to throw out a change that allows for denser development. Why the city made the change in the first place and what's next in this case. That's at 5:30 tonight. Meantime, still ahead this noon, Chick-fil-A is rolling out changes to its rewards program. Why it may take you longer to earn that free menu item.
And that's not the only program getting an update. Which Twitter users could lose access to their accounts today? Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Amazon has just come out and said they are cutting 9,000 more jobs, bringing this year's total to more than 27,000. CEO Andy Jassy said in a memo to his staff today, the second phase of the company's annual planning process is what led to these additional job cuts. The cuts would mark the second largest round of layoffs in the company's history. Earlier this month, the company said it would pause construction on its headquarters building in Northern Virginia. The first phase of that project is expected to be done in June. They'll welcome 8,000 employees there. Contamination fears have sparked a frozen fruit recall by the FDA. And you may not find those cheaper eggs at Dollar Tree this Easter. Those are among today's business headlines with Caroline Woods.
The Food and Drug Administration is warning people not to eat, sell, or serve certain brands of frozen organic strawberries after five people were infected with hepatitis A. The strawberries were sold at several stores, including Costco and Aldi, and in a frozen fruit blend at Trader Joe's. Hepatitis A can survive freezing temperatures and can pose a risk on contaminated surfaces for days. California Splendor, Kirkland, and Scenic Fruit Company are three companies involved in the frozen organic strawberries recall. For full recall information and what to do if you have the berries, visit the FDA's website. Chick-fil-A freebies, they come at a cost. The fast food company is tweaking its rewards program following the lead of Chipotle, Starbucks, and Dunkin', meaning customers will have to spend more to earn points for free perks on select menu items. Also, you'll need more of those points to redeem for freebies on the Chick-fil-A app. Chick-fil-A didn't reveal which food items will have higher redemption values, but said all the changes go into effect on April 4th. And no more cheap eggs at Dollar Tree. The company says it will stop selling eggs because it can't afford to stock them for their average price of $1.25 a carton. Egg costs soared 38% for producers and 55% for consumers in February, according to the Labor Department. Dollar Tree says it will bring back eggs once prices return to more historical levels, adding that it probably won't be in time for the year's biggest egg holiday, Easter. And those are your business headlines. I'm Caroline Woods at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Some Twitter users risk losing access to their accounts as of today. Twitter is taking away two-factor authentication via text message from all users who aren't subscribed to its premium service, Twitter Blue. Two-factor authentication is a security measure that requires you to enter a code when you log in addition to your login details. Twitter may lock users out of their accounts if they haven't disabled that option by today. And an app meant to help make grocery pickup easy for shoppers is reportedly having an adverse effect. According to a report in Business Insider, some Target customers aren't using the arrival notices correctly. Instead of sending an en route notice to give employees a heads up, some customers are tapping the I'm on my way and I'm here features very quickly after the other. The situation causes employees to rush to fulfill orders because of the short notice, triggering a domino effect of delays.
Reducing gun violence in the capital city, the program Raleigh leaders are implementing to accomplish that goal.
Plus, artificial intelligence is meant to make life easier, but one family says the reverse is true for them. Why their lawyer claims the software is partially why their daughter was taken away from them. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Wake County commissioners are working to get a handle on gun violence. They're talking about creating a new program to keep people safer. WRL's Brian Schrader talked with the commissioner about what leaders are planning. Here, Brian, what's going on?
Jeff, Raleigh police are partnering with the NAACP to launch a new gun violence interruption program this spring, and Wake County wants to expand on that idea. Commissioners are talking about creating a program that tries to reduce gun violence. It would have many different components, including mediators, to keep problems from escalating to violence and to prevent retaliatory shootings. Program also would bring together law enforcement, hospitals, churches, and community organizations. Wake County Commissioner Matt Calabria says that putting together such a broad coalition is easier said than done, but it's worth it.
We are hopeful because the data tells us that you can make a big difference if you put up a program that will do it right.
Calabria says that some communities who have set up similar programs have seen up to a 40% reduction in gun violence. And he says that he's hoping the county is going to have something in place by the end of this year. They expect to bring this up at meetings over the next several months to talk it out.
We'll wait to hear what comes of it. Brian, thank you. In about 30 minutes, the city of Durham will host a job fair to fill dozens of open positions. It runs from 1 to 6 this afternoon at the Durham Convention Center. The city is looking to hire more 911 operators, fire and police recruits, maintenance workers, and administrative workers, among other positions. You can see a list of all the job openings on the city's website.
Across the country, at least 11 child welfare agencies use artificial intelligence programs to try and identify children who may be at risk of danger in their homes. Marianne Rafferty introduces us to a Pennsylvania couple who says the system unfairly flagged them based on their disabilities.
At 7 months old, Andrew and Lauren Hackney's daughter began refusing her bottle.
It was getting to the point that she refused to eat.
Concerned, the Pennsylvania couple consulted their child's pediatrician, who gave them tips on how they could entice her to drink. But after days of no progress, the Hackneys say that the doctor told them to bring their daughter to the emergency room.
They said, like, oh, she was dehydrated and malnourishment.
After roughly 2 weeks in the hospital, their daughter started bottle feeding. But at that point, the Hackneys say child welfare agents from Allegheny County arrived and placed their child in foster care.
I really want to get my kid back. I miss her, especially holding her.
Allegheny County uses an artificial intelligence tool to review family data. The AI system then gauges how unsafe a child could be in their home. The Hackneys believe hospital staff told agents their child was malnourished and allege their information was entered into the AI system.
They were just heartbroken.
Andrew has a comprehension disorder and Lauren has attention deficit hyperactive disorder. The Hackneys and their lawyer are wondering if the AI system flagged them because of their disabilities.
How does that screening tool affect, you know, different populations?
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. The Justice Department is now investigating Allegheny County's AI system to see whether it's targeting minority parents, those with limited finances, and others like the Hackneys with disabilities. The Hackneys are still trying to regain custody of their daughter, but are allowed to see her twice a week for a few hours under supervision. Goldsboro police are investigating the death of a 7-month-old boy. Officers responded to UNC Health Wayne around 1:30 yesterday afternoon for a report of a child death. Police say the parents brought their baby to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police are not sharing any further information about that case right now.
Tonight, the town of Holly Springs wants the public's input on what kinds of things they want to see in the new downtown village district. The town is updating the plan for growth, development, and redevelopment of the district. One of the ideas for the area will expand Mims Park to Main Street and neighboring areas. The meeting is tonight from 5:30 to 7 at the Holly Springs Cultural Center on West Ballantyne Street. A final open house meeting is planned for late summer or early fall.
Our local teams are still dancing in the women's tournament. The Tar Heels are looking to advance to the Sweet 16. UNC will play Ohio State today in their second round matchup. The game is happening in Ohio State's home arena in Columbus. The Tar Heels got there by beating St. John's in the first round game Saturday. Tip-off for today's game against the Buckeyes set for 4 this afternoon. The number 3-seeded Duke women are looking to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16. The Blue Devils will host Colorado tonight in a second-round game at Cameron Indoor. Duke got to the second round with a 40-point win over Iona on Saturday. Tonight's game will get started at 9.
How you sleep is key to getting a good night's rest. New research that finds the best and worst positions for sleep.
Plus, the pandemic saw a spike in children accidentally poisoned by products found in the home. We'll explain the most common poison dangers to kids under five.
Most people spend about a third of their lives either asleep or resting. During sleep, the body recharges and repairs itself. Jason Howland explains why a good night's sleep often can be determined by in which position you're lying in bed.
Back sleepers, beware.
I know many people find it to be comfortable because they're not putting weight on their joints.
But Mayo Clinic experts say sleeping on your back is actually the worst sleeping position, especially if you have sleep apnea.
Sleeping on the back means that your tongue and jaw can fall down and crowd your airway. And many people snore more on their back.
Sleeping on your stomach helps keep the airway open, but it can put a strain on your spine and neck.
There's a host of evidence overall suggesting that probably sleeping on the side is better.
Side sleeping helps prevent the airway from collapsing and can reduce snoring. Side sleeping also is recommended during pregnancy, especially the last trimester. And sleeping on the left side is best because it keeps pressure off internal organs and promotes healthy blood flow.
If you're in your last trimester of pregnancy, when you sleep on your back, that uterus is compressing your inferior vena cava. It's compressing the arterial system.
Sleeping on your side also is considered by the Sleep Foundation as the best for people with neck and back pain, especially if you place a small pillow between your knees.
The number of children who died from accidental poisoning saw a significant surge in 2021. The Consumer Product Safety Commission reports within that year, 59 children under the age of five died after they somehow ingested medications or illicit drugs. Now, that's a spike of 37% from the year before. The top products involved in these types of poisoning are blood pressure medication, acetaminophen, antidepressants, laundry packets, and bleach.
Our look at county-by-county coverage takes us to Lee and Wayne counties. Tonight, Lee County commissioners are expected to vote on a resolution that would combine the Health Department and the Department of Social Services. If approved, they'll become the Lee County Consolidated Human Services Agency. If the action is approved, that consolidation would be effective July 1st. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. at the Dennis Wicker Civic Center on Nash Street.
The city of Goldsboro is considering adding two-hour limits on some downtown parking spaces. City Council will talk tonight about a plan to enforce two-hour parking on Center Street between Ash and Chestnut and on Mulberry and Walnut Streets between John and James. A $25 ticket would be enforced on cars that park longer than 2 hours. If the plan is approved, the city plans to put signs in place in June.
It is first day of spring, and one local community is inviting people to the area with an original campaign. We'll learn more about the Pinecone Scavenger Hunt.
Plus, how's this for a Help Wanted ad? If you love animals, you could become a professional bear hugger. That story after the break.
Oh, just take that in, right? You're looking live at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club and watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. We're going to keep it in Moore County this noon, where it is the year of the trail. And first day of spring, although it's a little chilly out there, the folks at Pinehurst Southern Pines Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau would like you to hit their trails. Joining us now is the president and CEO of the Bureau, Phil Wurz. Phil, thanks for joining us so much. We know it's the home of American golf, but also known for some great original ideas, like this Pinecone Pathways scavenger hunt for one of these specially made glass pine cones that we have right here. This is more than just a treasure hunt. Take a look at these. They are beautiful. Is there some embedded exercise in all this, getting people out to the trails?
Yeah, Jeff, first of all, thanks for having us. And this was an initiative. It's actually a law. Year of the Trail is actually a law was enacted by the General Assembly a couple of years ago for just this year, 2023. And our friends would visit North Carolina said, you know what, let's get all 100 counties involved, get people out on the trails, get some fresh air. So at the CVB, we're like, you know what, pine cones, longleaf pine, we're the land of the pine. So let's partner with glass makers, Joe Grant and his team at Starworks in Star. We said, hey, can you produce about 100 of these? There's a look at some of those pine cones there in our office at the CVB, and they're beautiful, colorful, shiny, and we're going to hide them on trails throughout Moore County, and that started today. So we've got pine cones out in Southern Pines at Whitehall Track, Southern Pines Reservoir, Nix Creek Greenway, and up in Robbins at Bear Creek. And every week we'll send a few more out onto trails. We have special hiders that put them in places that hopefully people will find, and then they can maybe win some prizes.
Collector's items for sure. What kind of prizes?
Well, when you see the pine cones, you don't see them there, but they're going to have a tag. When you see them in the wild, they'll have a tag with a special QR code. You'll just scan that. It'll take you to a landing page where you can register your pine cone. It basically takes it off the grid so we know you found it. And then you could take a picture, submit that, and then submit your information. And you have a chance to win a two-night stay here in the Pinehurst area and a $250 gift card. So pretty cool.
I know it runs for several weeks, but we're counting the days. 450 days, I looked at the website, until the 2024 Men's U.S. Open returns. Lots happening down there, including the 10th course. We've seen this before from the air. Angela Mosier, the lead design associate, and she is a hands-on lady, huh?
She sure is. She works with Tom Doak, and a lot of people have heard of Tom Doak. He's one of the most renowned golf course architects in the world. And he's teamed up with Angela Mosier, who, you know, there are plenty of women that work in the golf industry, but I knew a very few other than Angela Mosier, who is a golf course architect and shaper. She's from Germany originally. She's done work with Tom around the world and is doing a phenomenal job right now shaping what is going to be the 10th course at Pinehurst Resort. It should be done, I understand, by this fall. They won't officially open it until early next year. Definitely in plenty of time for the 2024 U.S. Open, which is going to be in June of next year.
And open to the public. We'll look for her out on the tractor, moving some dirt around there. Phil Wirz with the CVB, President and CEO, thank you so much. And there's more from Moore County. We find it every day. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Steph. Take care.
What a cool way to get people to get outdoors, right? Well, speaking of the outdoors, talk about a unique job opportunity. This is in New Mexico. The Department of Game and Fishing there says it is looking for bear huggers. Yes, if you're interested, you must have the courage to crawl into a bear den, have the trust in your coworkers to keep you safe during the process. The viral job listing is actually for conservation officers. A love of bears is not the only qualification, though. Applicants must also have a bachelor's degree in biological sciences, police science, or law enforcement, natural resources conservation, ecology, or related fields. But what a cool viral ad that's making the rounds on social media. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a reason to get outdoors with spring coming, although today it's just on the cool side.
Instead of this being the first day of spring, I think we're just going to rename it the last day of winter. Take a look here at Clinton. We actually have snow flurries that are falling in parts of Sampson County, some sleet close to the coast, but all these gray skies that you're seeing here in the southeastern part of North Carolina are having a lot of people report a few snow flurries there. So, you know, I guess that's the way to welcome spring in North Carolina, a few flurries. Take a look at here on the radar, and you can see where this band of precipitation is. You can expect pretty much all of this to be producing some flurries. So we're seeing that just east of Lumberton, just west of Elizabethtown. And then here across Clinton, you can see that band of precipitation there. A lot of that is actually some snow flurries also down at the southeastern corner of Cumberland County there. Some reports closer to the coast again of some flurries and some sleet as well, particularly over in Surf City. So I guess it's going to be just kind of a fun way to say goodbye to winter and hello to spring with a few flurries. Here's a look at what's likely to happen with that over the next few hours. You can see we continue to have a little bit of light patchy precipitation. A lot of that might be just some snow flurries. Now, none of this is, of course, sticking. It's all melting. At 3 o'clock, we're seeing sort of the last bit of that. And by 5 o'clock, it's all gone. We're back to some sunshine in our southeastern counties, but just kind of a fun gee whiz. I hope somebody out there is taking some pictures of it for us. In Goldsboro, we're seeing a mix of sun and clouds, but it's beautiful and bright in Apex and Chapel Hill. In Fayetteville, we're also seeing there just a mix of sun and clouds. Cold temperatures out there, certainly a freeze warning that's in effect for tonight and into tomorrow morning. Our current temperatures are mostly in the mid 40s, 45 Fayetteville, 46 Goldsboro, 43 in Roxboro, but just above the ground, the temperatures are cold enough for some of those snow flurries to develop and then finally come down and hit the ground and melt. Today, of course, is officially the first day of spring. It is the vernal equinox. What does that mean? Well, because the Earth is tilted on its axis, we end up having seasons. Of course, during the summer, the the northern hemisphere is tilted toward the sun. During the winter, it's tilted away from the sun. So we have colder temperatures, we have shorter days and longer nights. And of course, in the autumn and in the spring, we have the middle part where we have almost equal parts daylight and darkness. Of course, we're headed this way around the sun, and that means that our days are going to start getting longer now and the nights shorter. And eventually, this cold air is not going to win because we'll end up with enough daylight that it's finally going to start to warm us up. We'll actually start to feel it tomorrow. High pressure keeping things mostly dry. Little disturbance swinging up the coast. We're going to see another one that swings through on Wednesday. You can see just a few isolated showers that are going to push in for us during the day on Wednesday. This version of Futurecast's latest run showing a little bit more rain. We had 20%. If it continues to look that wet, we'll have to bump up those chances. Then our next chance of rain comes in on Saturday. We're going to see our cold front moving through. It's going to bring us some afternoon and evening showers. So a chance of rain on Wednesday and then again on Saturday. Nice warmer temperatures. We're close to normal on Wednesday and Thursday and in the 80s on Thursday and Friday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. You know, we've done lots of stories about interesting things TSA and Border Patrol agents find, but the latest find was potentially dangerous, where the slimy creatures originated and the effect they could have on humans. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Police in Cary now say they need the medical examiner to identify the body found in a fire pit. Investigators have been on the scene behind a home on Dorset Drive since the discovery yesterday. Cary police say the homeowner was found in an RV in the driveway with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He's in critical condition. Police are asking anyone who saw or heard anything unusual on Dorset Drive to come forward.
A man arrested in connection with a 3-decade-old cold case involving rape and kidnapping is due in court today. Police say a break from DNA evidence led them to arrest and charge 51-year-old DeAndre Smith. The victim in this case was 73 years old at the time. She died in 1992.
A family says a water heater exploded and started a fire in their Raleigh townhome. This is what is left of the home on Charney Drive. All four people managed to make it out the back door safely. They told WREL they thought they heard gunshots until they noticed the fire was coming from the garage.
Today is the start of the very first restaurant week for the town of Apex. A small business manager for the town says it'll be a good boost for the local economy. She says for many people, they're choosing to eat out less frequently than they had before.
In small business, primarily what you're spending money on is not, like, let's say, need items. They're kind of want items. So having an event like this that still allows you to maybe more easily access those kinds of things.
We have a full list of participating restaurants in Apex and their deals at WREL.com.
You likely won't find this next item on the menu during restaurant week. U.S. border agents found 6 giant live African snails in a suitcase owned by a traveler from Ghana. The snails are deemed a prohibited organism by U.S. officials since they can cause harm to humans and the environment if they are set free. Some of these African snails can grow up to 8 inches long and carry a parasite that can lead to meningitis.
Oh my, what a story to tell. Well, after that, we know you want to see something cute and cuddly, right? Well, how about this? Our pets of the day love being around people, dogs, and cats. Meet Chewy and Moose. These 3.5-month-old pups are very humble, polite. They love to cuddle in your lap. They would enjoy a family that will take them for walks and outdoor playtime. Either Chewy or Moose would complete your family. If you love to snuggle and have the patience to train a tender-hearted pup, call ARF, the Adolescent and Animal Resource Fund, at 919-894-1111.
They're cute. These started as spam calls, and now you're just as likely to get spam texts. Today on your News at 4, we'll explain how new rules from the FCC are designed to protect you.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.